thankful for the rain the good Lord sent. It done got a little dry around home. I'm trying to have a garden and trying to have that little old garden. It needed a little water. And I couldn't tote enough water to it. So the good Lord had a little mercy on me and sent a shower and watered it. And it done begin to look wilted. And when I went out there the next morning, it was looking up. I said, "Thank you, Lord. You sent us a little shower." I said, "Lord, send us a spiritual shower that we as your people could continually from time to time be revived in the things of thee." Because as Brother Philip already brought out, there's so much around us to bring us down, to plague our minds, and not give us a good outlook on things. But even though those things will not give us a good outlook on things around about us, when we can look at the Lord, we've got a good outlook when we look at Him, because He's able to deliver us, to take care of us, whatever the circumstances might be. The thought that's on my mind this morning, I thought I'd try to share a few verses with you. And I know a lot of times that we as mankind, we've got a nature about us, that if you get me, I'm going to get you. And that's just our nature. And for just a few moments, I'd like to try to share with you in the Bible scriptures that some of the Bible characters in the Bible, they were like that too. God delivered them in some cases. And let me just sort of start here. In the book of Romans and here in chapter 12, and I just really want one verse, and that's going to be verse 19 of that chapter. But this whole entire chapter here, the Apostle Paul is exhorting the brethren here to good works and to follow that and to keep that of the Lord. And he starts here in verse 19. He says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord."
Amen.
So that started me thinking just a little bit. God says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." Well, if God's going to repay, if God's going to take care of it, well, Frank doesn't need to take care of it. In other words, the Lord is going to take care of it for me. And you say, "Well, how can that be?" I want to get back over here into some verses here. I want to try to show you. A lot of times people that do things sort of think that, you know, I got away with it. But a lot of times you really don't get away with it.
Amen.
And what I mean by that, I want to try to give you a Bible illustration this morning. If I don't do nothing else, I want to set this sort of forth. If God will help me for just a few moments, I don't want to take up too much time. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, when He brought them out of Egypt, and here again, God had, the Amalekites had attacked Israel when they was coming out. And if you go back and read the account of it here, if I remember correctly about it, when they was in battle, I think long as Moses' arms was up, Israel won. When his arms went down, the Amalekites were defeating Israel. And here, you say, well, they did that evil against that of Israel, and they got away with it. But if you'll come over here into 1 Samuel in 15, and I just want to read this. "Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord." Now Samuel is instructing him, you need to listen to what God's got to say about it. Notice what he says in verse 2. He says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way which he came up from Egypt." In other words, here are the people, brethren, they set up an ambush for Israel. And as Israel come by, they were attacked by them. But in all of that, you're going to find out that God blessed Israel in this. You know, when the Moses' arms got so tired, they would come hold up his arms. God and Israel would triumph. In other words, God was with that of His people, and God blessed His people here. But here's a people that sold out to do evil against that of Israel here. You come down in the next verse. Now God is fixing to have vengeance here, brethren. The next verse, He said, "Go now and smite A-M-A-L-E-K. I maybe can't see it exactly right. He said, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man, woman, infant, and suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telems, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalekath and laid wait in the valley. In other words, God, here he's fixing to take vengeance back on them because they ambushed out of Israel over here. And God told Saul, said, now when you go in there, I want you to utterly destroy everything. In other words, God over here, he's going to have the vengeance. He's not going to leave anything over here, brethren. So therefore, when they went in there, they should have done that. But you're going to find as you read this story, Saul didn't hearken to the word of the Lord here, not like he ought to. In other words, when he went in there, they slew the bad stuff, but some of the stuff that they considered good over here, they kept some of that. And you're going to find out over here, brethren, here's one case there where God is getting vengeance on the Amalekites. You're going to find here when Saul, he didn't do as God had told him to do. Over here, he spared some of it. And then Samuel, he comes to Saul, and he asks Saul, he says, Saul, did you do everything that you said you're going to do? And Saul over here, he said, yeah, I did all of it over here. In other words, Saul was literally lying to that of the servant of God over here, brother. He was literally lying over here. Then Saul over here, brother, being a wise servant of God, he looked round about here. He said, well, what meaneth the bleating of the sheep over here and the lowing of the cows over here? In other words, he knew that Saul wasn't being straight with him about the situation. So since he knew he wasn't being straight about it, he knew he did do all of that. And therefore, God's anger was kindled against Saul because of that. And because of that, brother, over here, again, God is going to have vengeance. He rents the kingdom from that of Saul, brother, and gives it unto another, gives it to that of David, really, later on over here. But, brother, you begin to see here how that God said, vengeance is mine, I'm going to repay. And I couldn't help but think over here, brother, when you with that case over here. I want to give you another one. This one I sort of like over here, brother. It comes back over here when it comes down to that of Elijah. Not Elijah, but Elisha over here, the servant of Elijah. You're going to find that he was fixing to go up here. You come over here into 2 Kings in chapter 2, and just sort of let me start here in verse 23. And he went up from thence unto Bethel. In other words, I think he's leaving Carmel and going up to Bethel here, Elijah was. He said, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him. In other words, notice here, they fixing to mock him here, brother. And as they said unto him, go up thou bald head, go up thou bald head. Well, I sort of think that got me, brother. They were sort of making fun of me. They were being a mockery of Elijah in that case here. But notice here, brother, when it comes down into the next verse, in verse 24, and he turned back and looked on them. Here it is. I can just sort of see Elijah going now, brother. He's going up here, up to Bethel there. And back then, they had to sort of walk or ride some type of animal or something. But I can sort of see Elijah as he was just going along here, brother. He's walking and he's going along there. You know, these children come out and they're making fun of him. They're mocking him over here. And the scripture says, he said he looked on them. He said he looked back and let me get that whole verse. My glasses ain't working too good this morning. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. In other words, when he looked back on them, brethren, over here, he just cursed them in the name of the Lord over here. You making fun of me? Over here, the Lord will get you later over here, brethren. You know, when they, with the Apostle Paul, over here in the Acts of the Apostle, when they had brought him into question there, and when they had brought the Apostle Paul in question over here, and they smited, they slapped the Apostle Paul here across the mouth over here, and because he had, and I answered in a way that they wasn't pleased with, so they slapped him over here. What did Paul read back? Go back. Show that vengeance over here. He said, the Lord shall smite thee. In other words, Paul's anger was kindled against what they had done to him over here. He said, the Lord will smite thee. And then when they said, you know not, this is the high priest. And Paul said, I wish not that it was the high priest over here. So he didn't realize and know that it was the high priest. If he had, he wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't have been committing that sin here. But you know, he come back. He turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And they came forth, two she-bears out of the woods, and tear 42 children of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence He returned to Samaria. In other words, brethren, those two she-bears, in other words, mama bears, they come out of there and they tore 42 of those children over here that had made a mockery. Brother, when I begin to look back at that, I say, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord here, brother. And I tell you what, we're living in a nation and a world today over here with all the sin and the ungodliness in this nation over here. Brother, we're not going to get away from that. We're not going to get away from that. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus saith the Lord over here, brother. Over here, you can go back over here in the prophets. He said, I'll raise nations up and I'll bring nations down over here. My mind goes back over here to that in King Nebuchadnezzar's day. Brother, we are talking about a God that blessed that man, that man got to be a great king over here, brother. He got to be a great nation over here. And with him being a great king and a great nation, what happened over here, brother? Did that man stand? Just because we're doing good now, it doesn't mean we're going to always do good, brother. There is going to come a time, brother, when we may not be doing so good. There might be things plaguing us over here. That old king thought he was doing good over here. So that we're talking about the great God of heaven brought that man down over here, brother. I'll tell you what made him like a beast of the field over here, brother. Hair like bird feathers, fingernails like bird claws over here, brother. I'll tell you what. And it says over here, what happened? God said, I'll raise him up, I'll bring him down. When I go back over here to Egypt land, brother, I saw that God over here by that of his mercy, even with an evil individual, with Pharaoh. He raised Pharaoh up, but he brought him also down, brother. We're talking about a God here that's got all power, both in heaven and earth. That's what old Nebuchadnezzar said, brother, when God got through with him and he restored back to his kingdom over here. You know, and I love this over here, brother. We believe in a God that there's nothing impossible for. There's nothing too hard for him, brethren. Even though we're in a nation that I think it is on the road to crumble. It's on the road to crumble, brethren. Oh, here. Why is it on the road to crumble? Because we as God's humble poor, we as God's sheep, brethren, over here, we have got to the place over here, we don't consider the things of God as important as we used to. All right? Saul didn't consider it either. What'd you saw? Saul said over here, well, we'll save some of the good stuff. And all the refused stuff or the bad stuff, we're going to get rid of. God wasn't pleased with that. God said, I want to get rid of all of it. When God says get rid of all of it, we need to get rid of all of it. That reminds me, brethren, don't we have some stuff in our lives that we shouldn't have as we as God's people? I say we have. I say Frank's got some. Oh, here. You say, what do you mean some that we don't have? Don't you remember over here where Jeremiah said, break up your fallow ground? You ever been plowing? I sort of like riding a tractor myself. I guess it's just a childhood thing that I never outgrew, brethren. But I like riding a tractor. I like turning the soil. But, brethren, I tell you what, with these tractors, you can't get in the corner a lot of times with them. You have to leave that. That's fallow ground, brother. The Bible says break up the fallow ground. Don't you have some fallow ground in your life, brethren, that needs breaking up? Don't you have somebody that has done you a wrong and you've been hurt by it? Oh, yeah. And with you being hurt by it, brethren, don't you need to forgive them? I think that's breaking up some fallow ground. Forgive them. Don't get like some over here, brothers, and oh no. If I don't do something, it's gone in a handbag. Brethren, a lot of times we get involved, man gets involved, and I know that sometimes when we got to take a stand now, brother. I'm not saying just be limber-legged over here and not do anything and without a backbone. You got to take a stand. You got to have a backbone. But in all of that, brother, we need to do it over here in connection with the teaching of God's Word. When you do it in the connection with the teaching of God's Word, when you do that, brethren, when you do that, you're doing what God has told you to do. You're following the Word of God. And when you're following the Word of God, then, brethren, I tell you what's going to shine forth in your life? The light of Jesus, brethren. I can't ever find this. The Scripture tells me, and I got this can get on. I need to get over here in Nabor now. Remember about Nabor and Abigail? She was a woman of judgment. She was a woman of good wisdom. Her husband, she said, my husband lifteth up to his name, Nabor. He's a man of folly. Yeah, he was a man of folly. And he did wrong. But when Abigail found out about it, she said, I got to appease the king here. I got to appease David. If I don't, he's going to... You go back. David's going to take David on... David was going to take vengeance on Nabor. You say, well, how would it... David got his army together. And he went down there with 400 soldiers, and he said before the rising of the next sun, there shall not be a man left standing. David went down there to kill him. Kill them all. Abigail found out. She gets everything David needs. She loads them on those ashes of that day, and she takes off. And here come David and his 400 soldiers. When he comes off down there, brethren, when he gets off down there, what's going on? Abigail, she sees him. She lights off her animal over here, and then she bows before him. And she says over here, hearken to the voice over here. That word there, it says audience, but in other words, hearken to the voice. I looked that up. Over here, you hearken to the voice of thy handmaid. She referred to herself as a handmaid, brethren. And then she gives David everything she needs, and she begins to plead a little bit on behalf of her husband, Nabor. I reckon I'm pronouncing it right. Over here, and it appeased the wrath of David. I won't take time to go and read all that, brother, but it says over here, by what she's done over here, David says over here, the Lord has kept me from sinning. God intervened in that situation. Why? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. A lot of times we get out here, we'll worry about things, and we'll grieve about things, about the way we've been done, the way we've been treated. I used to do it, still do it some. Not quite as much as I used to, though. I done found out if I'll try to keep my eyes on Jesus Christ and follow Him and live a life that's going to be an honor and glory to Him and try to preach His precious truth over here in this world over here, God will put some peace and joy in my heart. And I ain't got to go around worrying, grieving to death. A lot of this stuff over here bringing about stress in our lives, brethren. And I tell you, I don't need no more stress. I got enough. You know, I want to try to live a life. I want to get out here and be able to work on the day and be happy and enjoy that work. I want to get out here and be among God's people and preach the precious truth over here and be happy doing it. I'll tell you what, we got some mean sheep along the way that won't exactly let you do it sometimes, man. Some of these mean sheep, brother, and they'll jump on you and they'll attack you and they'll butt you real good. And a lot of times you'll have some sleepless nights because of it. I'm going to get out of the way. Going to get out of the way, brother. The good Lord says, leave it to me, I'll take care of it. Some say, wait a minute, Brother Frank, what about all these evil, ungodly, wicked people living like they want to live in this world? Don't you think God's going to have vengeance? Don't you think He's going to have a last say? You ever been in an argument with a child over here? You know, one of them got to have the last say. Got to have that last say, brethren. Well, don't you think the Lord's going to have the last say? I think He is. I'll close this. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting punishment. I never knew you. Brethren, that's going to be the last say. And He's going to have the vengeance. God bless you.